Did you know that there is a reindeer that can quote John 3:16? I'm going to give you evidence of that here in a few minutes, but first I'll give you the backstory. My grandson, Cal, has had the opportunity here recently to see a reindeer and to pet it. Somebody in the Indianapolis area has some reindeers, I think if I'm getting the story straight, the zoo in Indianapolis brought those reindeer onto their premises and invited kids to come and see the reindeers and to pet them. And of course, Santa Claus was there and they had the whole opportunity. My daughter, Rebecca, took her three boys to do that. And Cal, her middle child, has gone bonkers over reindeers. He got a shirt with a reindeer on it, and he wants to wear it every day. And he's going around talking in this grovelly voice and says he's a reindeer. Now, as I say that, I was thinking, I hope, you know, there's not someone that's going to raise their eyebrows and think about, you know, in this day and age, kids are saying they're cats and they're dogs and whatever else. It's not like that. He's just become obsessed with reindeers. And he's talking in what he thinks a reindeer would sound like. And so my daughter, Rebecca, sent me this video this last week, and you'll have to hear Cal in his reindeer voice quoting John 3:16.
Do you remember where it's from?
Where?
Say, John?
The Baptist.
No, not John the Baptist. the book of John. John 3:16.
So I told you reindeer can quote John 3:6, or maybe it's John the Baptist 3:16. I don't know. I heard this too. There are four stages to one's life. The first stage is when you believe in Santa Claus. The second stage is when you don't believe in Santa Claus. The third stage is when you are Santa Claus. And the fourth stage, you probably guessed it, is when you look like Santa Claus. And some of us are maybe in that fourth stage. I started a Christmas series of sermons last week that is based on our memory verse for the month of December. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And particularly, I will be focusing on that name that is given to Jesus, Emmanuel. And the text actually just right up front tells us what that name means. It means God with us. And so over this three-week period that we are in this series, I'm going to focus on each part of that name. Last week, we looked at the word God. As you see that translation of Emmanuel, God with us, we talked about the fact that Jesus is and was God. He was God who came to this earth. And if you missed last week's sermon, I would really encourage you to go to our website and listen to that. As I thought about that sermon after I preached it, I began to think that sermon last Sunday may have been one of the most important doctrinal sermons that I have ever preached in 40 years of preaching. And so if you missed it, I want you to go back and listen to it, because it's very foundational for our Christian faith, the fact that Jesus equals God. And today we're talking about the second word in that translation of Emmanuel, God with us. And notice the emphasis upon the word with. What can we learn from the fact that God is with us? First of all, this is what we learn. He understands everything we go through. Let those words sink into your mind for a moment. He understands everything we go through, simply because He walked in our shoes. He became one of us, and He lived here on this earth for 33 years. He understands temptation. Don't you know He was the ultimate target of Satan? You and I have Satan's minions working on us, tempting us to do wrong. But you can be sure, without a doubt, that Jesus had Satan himself working on him day and night. Satan brought every trick of the trade against Jesus. He is the master of deception, and he unleashed all of his arsenal against Jesus. He didn't leave any stone unturned. There was not one scheme that he didn't try. There was not any ploy that he didn't use. There was not any scam that he didn't run. He lurked 24/7. There was never a time that he was late in tempting Jesus. He was never asleep on the job. He was never twiddling his thumbs. He was totally focused on bringing Jesus down. And yet he failed. Amen? He failed as he sought to bring Jesus down. He brought all of those temptations against Jesus, and yet not one time did Jesus ever fall to those temptations. He never sinned, even once. Whatever he faced it successfully. He understands what we're going through, because he faced it before we have faced it, and he's ready to help us if we'll turn to him. So he understands temptation. I want you too to know that he understands our hardships. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be hated, to be rejected, to be mocked. He knows what it's like to be spit upon. He knows what it's like to have the people in your hometown turn against you and curse you. He knows what it's like to have your best friends desert you and betray you and deny that they even know you. He knows what it's like to feel physical pain. You read about his suffering in those final hours, and you come to the realization that he understands any kind of pain that you might have. He knows about it because he has felt pain like no one else. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood by your own family. He knows what it's like to stand at the graveside of someone that you love. John chapter 11, Jesus was at the graveside of his good friend Lazarus, and the scripture says he wept. He knows the pain of losing someone that you love. And very likely, we can't know this to be the absolute truth, but very likely he understands the pain of burying your own father. Now, likely, Jesus lost Joseph at an early age, because You don't read about Joseph in the scripture after the age of 12 of Jesus. You remember at the age of 12, he was in the temple. He had gotten away from his mom and dad, and they'd left him behind. They didn't realize that they had to go back to Jerusalem to find him 3 days. And they found him there in the temple amongst the teachers of the law. That's the last time that you read anything, any mentioning of Joseph in Scripture. You read about Mary all through the ministry of Jesus, but never Joseph. He's gone. And so likely, Jesus understood the pain of losing your earthly father and putting him to rest. He knows what it's like to have people accuse you and lie against you. He knows what it's like to have people shout Hosanna on one day, and then on the next day they're shouting Crucify Him. He knows what it's like to be homeless. The scripture says he didn't even have a place at night to lay his head. He knows what it's like to have nothing. He knows what it's like to be tired, to be hungry, to be disappointed. Whatever hardship you and I face, Jesus has already faced it because he has walked in our shoes. He understands what we're going through. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. No, rather he is the great sympathizer because he's lived where we have lived. Back in the 1800s, all lepers who lived in the Hawaiian Islands were banished to the island of Molokai. Now, if you're like me, I read this, or actually heard it from another preacher, and I was not familiar with the island of Molokai, so I looked it up on the internet. It's the fifth largest of the Hawaiian Islands. And, of course, this was, being in the 1800s, this was long before Hawaii had become a state. The people who lived there on those islands lived under a king whose name is about that long. I am not even attempting to pronounce his name for you. But the story is told of a brave young man named Joseph Damien who went as a missionary among the lepers there on the island of Molokai. And he was so loved by the people there because who would become a missionary to lepers? And having been there for quite some time, he was getting ready on a Sunday morning, looking at his sermon. I suppose he had a cup of tea or something he was drinking. He spilt some hot water on his foot, and he noticed he didn't feel anything. He took some more water and dabbed his foot with that water. He didn't feel a thing. And he knew immediately what that meant. And every Sunday morning, he would start his sermon with these words, "My fellow believers." But on this particular Sunday morning, he started his sermon with the words, "My fellow lepers." And that is how much God wanted to be with us. He came here among us, and he completely understands us. There's something else we can learn from the fact that God is with us. We're never alone. And there are a number of scriptures that give emphasis to this. Matthew 28:20, Jesus, these are the last words he spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. He said, "Lo, I am with you," what? "Always, even to the end of the age." John 14:16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever." 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Hebrews 13:5, the last part of that passage says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That's Hebrews 13:5. And then there's some Old Testament passages that are so precious. Psalms 46:1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble." Psalms 23:4, this is one that's very familiar to us. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? You are with me." And one of my very favorite scriptures in the Old Testament, Isaiah 41:10, says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And another favorite of mine from Isaiah 43:2-3, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you go through the fire, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Now, I could read on and on from this book. The number of scriptures that give emphasis to the fact that we are never alone. Do you remember what David said in Psalms 139? He says, "Lord, if I go to the highest heaven, you're there. If I go to the lowest parts of the earth, you are there." He said, "Where shall I flee from your presence?" And the answer to that question is you can't. You can't flee from the presence of God, because wherever it is that you might go, he's there. And in that same passage of scripture, he says, "Lord, with you, even the darkness is not dark." He's there. He's always with us. If we travel the road of cancer, he's there. If we travel the road of getting old, he's there. If we travel the road of sickness, whatever that might be, he's there. If we travel the road of divorce and family brokenness, he's there. If we travel the road of financial collapse or hardship, he's there. If our kids are wandering astray from us or from the faith, he's there. If our spouse dies and we're left alone, he's there. If the crops fail, he's there. If the stock market falls and our retirement is gone, he's there. He is always with us. The one who is over us is with us through it all. He is there. He is our God with us. And by the way, he's with us in the mountaintop experiences too. Most of those things that I reference, those scenarios that I reference, those are kind of on the dark side of life. As we go through the valleys, he's there with us. But the scripture says he's on the mountaintops too. When the times are good, he's there. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And I'll give you one other lesson that we can learn from this truth that God is with us. And that lesson is this: our worth becomes invaluable. Because of who we know and who we belong to and who lives in us, we become a person of great worth. Watch this video from The Chosen, Mary Magdalene.
I don't know what else I can do to help you.
Give me that. Lots of it.
That's not going to solve your problems. It's meant to distract from
them. No more preaching. Just give it to me.
Lilith, please listen to what I'm saying.
I said, leave me.
That's not for you.
Don't touch me.
Oh. Lily. Lily. Lily, are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone.
Mary. Mary of Magdala.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you. And he who formed you. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
One of the most powerful scenes from episode 1, season 1. Did you hear what Jesus said to her? Could you understand that? He said, I have created you. I have redeemed you. You are mine. And that could be true for each of us. I mean, he wants us to be his. He gives us value. Think about Mary Magdalene, what she was like. She had 7 demons inside of her that Jesus cast out. She had been overcome by the evil one, but Jesus redeemed her. He bought her through his own blood. He made a new person out of her. And that's exactly what he wants to do and can do for each of us. Our worth becomes invaluable because of Jesus. Without him, what do we have to live for? What do we have to live for without Jesus? That's why so many people are taking their life in suicide. They don't have anything to live for. They're hopeless. They're in despair. The darkness is overwhelming. But if they would just give their eyes and their heart towards Jesus, they would realize that in Him is hope, in Him is light, in Him is purpose, in Him is worth. He is God with us. A memory verse of mine recently is 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, "For you know the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, so that you who were poor through His poverty could become rich." And believe me, that verse has nothing to do with dollar bills. We are truly rich in Him. And so my question to you today is simply this: do you know Him? Have you invited Him to be with you? If not, you can do that today. There's actually one coming today who's making that decision to have Jesus come and live inside of him. You can do that. You can say, "Jesus, I need you. I repent. And I want to give my life to you through Christian baptism, and I just want to surrender all to you." He can give us life just like He gave life to Mary Magdalene. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You and Your Son Jesus are the givers of life. Forgiveness of sin is in You. Hope is in You. Heaven is in You. Redemption is in You. Riches, true riches, are in You. Peace is in You. Contentment is in You. May we give ourselves fully to You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.